Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Let's read in scripture, Psalm 40. As we just open the service, Psalms 40. It reads as follows, says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man, is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer as we open the service tonight. Father, we are privileged people to be able to gather in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for just safe passage to be able to come here tonight. And as we come, Lord, we pray that your spirit would just meet us here, God, in a very special way. May the songs that are sang uplift our spirits. May the word that is preached deal with the depths of our soul. And God, may we all draw closer to you. We thank you, God, for those that are still on the way. May you give them traveling mercies as well. And Father, may you just bless each and every person that will walk through those doors tonight. May we leave here knowing that we have been in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, if there's any sick amongst us, may they be healed. If there's any bound, may they be delivered. And God, whatever the needs are that come through these doors, may you, God, meet every need is our prayer. We're careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, for you alone deserve it. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Say, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Say, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Sing, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God
God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Sing our God. He's an awesome God. He reigns, yes he does, from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God. Come on, let's do that war cry again. Oh, 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 oh. God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God. Come on, say our God. He's an awesome God, and he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God, come on one more time. Lift your voice to heaven tonight. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God. Oh, somebody praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's awesome tonight. Nobody like our Jesus. Amen. You deserve the glory and the honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, say you deserve the glory. Oh, and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. Come on, say, you deserve the glory. Hallelujah, and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. Oh, as we bless your holy name. Oh, for you are great, and you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Well, there is no one like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. Oh, and there is no one else like you. Hallelujah. Oh, there is no one else like you. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah. And the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship. Oh, as I bless your holy name, for you deserve the glory. Yes, you do, God, and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name, for you are great, and you do miracles so great. Hey. There is no one else like you. Come on, sing. There is no one like you. Lord, you are great. You do miracles so great. Hey, no one else like you. Hallelujah. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name, for you deserve the glory. Yes, you do, Jesus, and the honor. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name, for you are great. Hey, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you, Jesus. Hey, there is no one like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody, no one, nowhere. Say you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else. No one else. Say no one else. Hey, Jesus, you are great. Oh, you do miracles so great. Lord, there is no one else like you, Jesus. Oh, there is no one, no one. Say you are great, and you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you. Oh, somebody praise him here tonight. Nobody like you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. My God, my God. Amen. Let's sing another one tonight. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. And sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. The sun comes up. And it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Come on. Say, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Yes. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Worship his holy name. Sing like never, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship your holy name.
Come on, you're rich in love and you're slow to anger. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 years for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, say bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, sing like never before. Say, oh my soul, I will worship your holy name. The last verse, and on that day, and on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Hey, sing like never before, my soul. Oh, I worship your holy name. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it again. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Say, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never. Oh, oh, my soul. Yeah, I worship your holy name. One more time. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, yes. Hallelujah. Worship, yeah, his holy name. Holy name, sing like never. Oh, I worship your holy name. Yes, I will. I worship. Oh. Hallelujah, I worship your holy name, your holy name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. My God, we were created to worship him. Amen. And only he deserves our praise. Only he deserves our praise. I mean, you can be seated tonight. Amen. We have a few specials, amen, that we will do tonight. Sister Charisse, I believe, amen, will be singing amen, for us. So let's have her come at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Brittany, make sure you have something for us too, all right? Amen.
The Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my every wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. See my sin will look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm? Because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. Wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Oh, I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. Away tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I'm yours, I'm yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? For I'm yours.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to know that we belong to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Cherise. Sister Brittany, if you would come at this time. Amen. And bless us.
God bless you, church.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the words of God impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope in this world where every roam. Words of God will guide us home. Words of God, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the words of God impart. Holy words of our faith handed down to this age, came through us, through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. God's own heart. Oh, let the words of God impart. Words of God, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, of God impart. Words of God, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the words of God impart. Changing me and changing you. We have with open hearts. Oh, let the words of God impart.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Brittany. We certainly appreciate that. Amen. Let's just prepare for tonight's offering. Amen. And we'll go forward in service. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege that we have tonight to give. We pray, oh God, that you would just bless our time in giving, and may you just get all the glory and may you get all the honor through this. Thank you for blessing us with the ability to be able to give tonight. And we just appreciate you, Lord Jesus, for meeting every one of our needs. And God, now we just give back to you as you've given to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a little song here that we sung last time we did our youth service, and just wanted to just sing this again. Amen. Tonight, one of the brothers had texted me and told me this just blessed his soul, and just wanted to maybe sing it again tonight. The song says, "You could have let me drown, but instead you took me in. I was sinking, amen, in a sea of sin and shame." And he could have just left me right there, but he did not do that. So I'm very grateful for that tonight. Amen. Y'all help me sing that tonight, okay? I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame. Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let me drown. Oh, he could have let me drown. Hey, he could have let me drown. Oh, but instead he took me in. Oh, I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame. Hey, but Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let me drown. Hallelujah. Come on, say, he could have let me drown. Oh, he could have let me drown. Yeah, but instead, he took me in. Well, you see, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. Hey, when nothing else could help, hey, love lifted me. Get to the world, love lifted me. Oh, you know love lifted me. Yes, now when nothing else could help, oh, when nothing else could help, hey, love lifted me, hey, he could have let me drown, hallelujah, he could have let, oh,
you see, he could have let me drown. Yeah, but instead, he took. Oh, he could have let. He could have did it, yes, he could have let. Hey, hallelujah, he could have let. Oh, but instead, he took. I was sinking. Oh, now I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame. Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let me drown. Oh, he could have let. Well, he could have let. Oh, but instead, come on, sing that again. I was sinking. Oh, I was sinking in a sea of sin and shame. But Jesus found me and he changed my name. He could have let. Oh my God, he could have let. He could have did it, y'all. Yes, he could. He could have let me drown. Oh, but instead he took me in. Well, love lifted me. So glad to know love lifted me. Yes, now when nothing else could help, you see the love lifted me. Hey, you know it's love that lifted me. Thank God for love that lifted me. Oh, when nothing else, oh, come on, when nothing else, hallelujah, oh, no one else can help me. Oh, hey, mama couldn't help me. You see, my daddy couldn't help me. Oh, no one could help me. Hey, yeah, my brother couldn't help me. Yeah, oh, my sister couldn't help me. Oh, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Hey, he could have let. Oh, he could have let. My, yeah, he could have let. But instead, he took me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, instead he took me in. Praise the Lord. He could have let me drown, but instead he took me in. And I'm so happy about that tonight. Amen. Well, tonight we have our brother Joel, a man from Sarasota, that's going to be coming to speak to our hearts. And we're so glad to have him here. Amen. And just bringing the word of God to us. We started the service a little earlier tonight because I knew that they were coming. They got about a 3.5-hour drive, and coming over, and not only coming over, but then after service going back home. So we just started just a little bit early tonight so we give time for the word of God, and amen. And then when the service is over, people not so late getting back home.
But we want to thank all of you that have pressed your way to come out tonight just to be a part of this service. And I just believe God got something special for each and every one of us, amen, that come here tonight. So let's just enter in with everything we had. As he was coming to the office, he mentioned the song to me. He said, "Brother Jack, first time I came to visit here, you all sang this song, and it just kind of came to my spirit, you know, earlier today." And I said, "Brother, you know, I was thinking on the same song a little earlier today, because we sung it just a couple weeks ago. And hey, man, it's just a song that encourages our heart, says I'm going all the way. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your trials, no matter what your tribulation, your distress is, you have to have a determination on the inside that says I'm going all the way. Amen. I don't plan on quitting. I don't plan on giving up. I don't care how hard it gets. I'm going all the way." Let that be your testimony tonight. Let's sing it with all of our hearts. Say, all the way, I'm going all the way. As Brother Joel prepares to come. All the way, I said I'm going all the way. All the way. Come on, everybody. Say, I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way with the Lord. Anybody mean that tonight? Come on, sing with all your heart. Say, all the way, I'm going all the way. Come on, say, all the way, I'm going all the way. Say, all the way, I'm going all the way. Yes, I am, I'm going all the way with the Lord. Hallelujah. I made my decision. I made my decision. I'm going all the way. I'm going. Come on. I made my decision. I'm going all the way. Come on. I made my decision. I'm going all the way. Yeah, I'm going all the way with the Lord. Come on, I made my choice. I made my choice. Oh, I made my choice. I'm going all the way. Come on, I made my choice. Yes, I did. I'm going all the way. Oh, I made my choice. Yes, I did. Hey, and I'm going all the way. Well, I'm going. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your voice to heaven tonight. Say, all the way. Say, all the way, I'm going all the way. All the way.
Your prayer tonight, is that your confession tonight? Amen. For you know the word of God says that he's the high priest of your profession. So if you're in this to win it, amen. Am I preaching to somebody tonight? If you're in it to win it, if you're gonna go all the way with the Lord, let's just sing that one more time from the bottom of your heart and mean it to him. I'm going all the way. Devil, you can throw problems, you can throw trials, you can throw things at me, but it doesn't matter, because the very one that called me to this message, the very one that sustains me in this message, said that I will go all the way. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again. All the way. Yes, Lord. All the way. All the way. just give the Lord Jesus a praise offering tonight. Tell him how much you love him. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if I knew how to sing, I'd sing the song, "Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place." But you're lucky I don't know how to sing. I'll leave that to our brother Jack. And I just want to tell brother Jack, thank you. You know, when a man of God offers his pulpit to you, he's given you a great amount of trust. And I just want to thank him for that trust. And I've known brother Jack for a few years now. I just thinking about it earlier today. I think I met him about 8 years ago at a little banquet we had there. Brother Danny Steeman, my pastor, who sends your greetings to you, and Brother Bill Hirschberger, they both send their greetings. We're there for Brother Danny's 40th birthday for a little banquet. And I met Brother Jack at that time. And, you know, Brother Jack has just been Brother Jack these 8 years. And I just thank God for that. Because, you know, friends, just a steady, not high highs and low lows, but just a steady. You know, the stabilizers have been put on the ship. Is that right? You know why? Because we're getting close to the shore. And the waves are closer. As you get closer to the shore, many things, Satan's going to throw a lot of things at you as you get closer to the shore. But praise God, there's been stabilizers put on the ship, and there's stabilizers put in your life. Amen. Glory to God. So I certainly have known Brother Jack, and I've just known him just to be a real steady brother in the Lord, and been around, and he's been up to my hometown up in Ohio. I am a northerner. But I chose to come be with you. I chose to leave my home in the cold, frozen north and to enjoy 75 degree Februarys. So, amen. I'm rejoicing with you on that one. But my name is Brother Joel C. And I live now in Sarasota, Florida. Have been there for about 12 years now with my wife and my family fellowshipping with Brother Danny Steeman, who's been our pastor for the last few years, 5-6 years, something like that, after the passing of his father. But you know, we see our older generation go on, but the message, the word, continues to go from generation to generation. And Brother Jack and me, our testimony is real similar. We both grew up in this message, and we know that God don't have grandchildren. You've got to get it for yourself. Amen. So glory to God. I don't have any further introductions other than to say we love you. We pray for you. I thank God for Instagram. I see your little snippets and your praise and your worship services. And it's a blessing. It's a real blessing. Amen. So if they just continue to play softly, we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for giving us another opportunity to gather together in your precious name. And we know, Father, without a shadow of a doubt, that your word is true, and you have said, where two or three be gathered together in my name, I, Lord, as our prophet said, that's a personal pronoun, I will be in their midst. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're depending on that tonight. We're depending on your word to be the truth, because, Lord, I'm just a man. I can't do anything without you. But, Lord, if you're here, your word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, dear God, while your heavenly presence is here, while your spirit is here moving and working amongst your people, my prayer is, dear God, Lord, especially for that lost sheep, that one that has not made a complete decision, who has not come all the way in, dear God, Lord, my prayer is, dear God, as we see that door beginning to close, that you would tug on the heartstrings of that one, dear God, and draw them to thy precious side. And Lord Jesus, and my, oh, how we think about how our prophet said that you will meet us according to our expectation. Now, dear God, my prayer is tonight that each and every one, maybe it would be a sick loved one, maybe it would be another friend or somebody that they've been witnessing to, dear God. But Lord, I just pray that that expectation would now be in their heart. Lord, we've seen you move. We've seen you act so many times in people's lives because of another person praying, dear God, because of another person had them on their heart, and that believer began to pray. And when your children begin to pray, Lord, mountains fall. Lord, there's nothing that can stand before our prayer. That's what our prophet taught us. He said, if you would be sincere and believe, he said that nothing could stand before our prayer, not even cancer. Lord, cancer can't stand before us. Sin can't stand before us. Unbelief can't stand before us, Heavenly Father. Lord, there is nothing that could stand before us, dear God. Lord, we love you, and we know without a shadow of a doubt that when you are with us, we are a mighty conquering army. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We commit this little service to the precious hands of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Let's just turn in your Bibles this evening to St. John chapter 15. And this is a little sermon that I'd preached some time ago, but you know, when I went back to look over my notes, they were gone. And I believe that God had something else for this tonight. And it's simply titled this evening, Abide in Me. And there's no way that we're going to cover every aspect, every facet of this subject tonight. But by the grace of God, I believe that there's a couple points that he wants to bring out this evening. So if you just turn in your Bibles to St. John chapter 15, we'll read those first 14 verses. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. My, what a statement. So he's bringing forth fruit, but he says, no, I'm going to purge that one. He said that I love who I rebuke and I chasten. And he says, if you can receive the chastening of the Lord Jesus, if you can receive that chastening, he said, you're now my child. Amen. So he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye accept. You abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That my joy might remain in you. So many people today are just looking for peace. So many people are looking for joy. The answer's right here. He said, my joy might abide in you. Amen. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You can have your seats this evening. Amen. And I love that, how the theme continues there. He says, abide in me, which means you've got to be plugged into him. Right. But the other theme that he has here is you must have love. Right. And you know, love is such a strong force that many times Brother Branham thought that that was having the evidence of the Holy Ghost. If you simply had love in your life. Because it's so strong. But we know that later on, the angel of the Lord revealed to him that it was receiving the word for your day would be the evidence of having the Holy Spirit in your life. But love is such a strong force. And you know, friends, we see so often tonight how many times that the division, the things that happen amongst the brethren, but that's not God. That's not his will for you. Oh my, how I love how Brother Branham, he talked about the little ducks in the pens, and he said, but when the water came up, the ducks had fellowship one with another. God isn't coming back for a scattered group over here that can't stand the group over there and all these things. He's coming back for a unified body. And that body is his very reflection. Is that right? Brother Brandon makes a statement over and over and over. He said that the body coming together. Luther was a part. Wesley was a part. Pentecost was a part. He said, and we are now a part of that body. He said, but it's the entire rapture coming together. Amen. That's why the devil's fighting that so hard. My God. Bringing division.
Yes, sir.
Amongst the brethren.
Yes.
Bringing all these isms and schisms and things like that.
Amen.
Sowing discord. You know, Brother Branham says sometimes the devil will just bring a person in. He'll shoot that person with a little bit of poison. And he'll go amongst, just say, well, you know what Brother Jack said. And you know, Brother Jack, just this and that. But friends, that's not God speaking to you. God never deals that way. Oh, do a man of God mess up? Absolutely. Was Moses told to smite the rock? No. He was told to speak to the rock. Did that detract from him as God's prophet? Absolutely not. The people still received their deliverance. The people still walked out of Egypt. The people still had their water. God sustained their life. Even though the man of God completely got out of his will. God told Moses, he said, you speak to that rock. Moses, out of his anger, because the people just plain made him mad. Hello?
Right.
The people made him mad. He went up and he hit that rock twice with this staff.
That's right.
God provided the water.
Amen.
But when did the people rise up against Moses? And when was that ever the will of God? It never was. Korah, Dathan, the different ones rose up against him. Well, we've got just as much truth as you, Moses.
Come on.
How did God deal with that? Oh, the earth got hungry and swallowed those people. God never dealt with Moses according to the will of the people. My point is, God does correct his man. God does get his man back on the straight and narrow. But it's never in the public eye of the people. Oh, Moses got corrected all right. Oh, he was told about the land flowing with milk and honey and all these wonderful things. And God took him up on the mountain. He said, there you are, Moses. That's it. But you're not going to enter in. My. God dealt with Moses. But when the people believed the message of their day, deliverance happened. Healing happened. Oh my. They were fed. Water came forth. But that was God's way of doing it. Amen. Would you love the Lord Jesus this evening? I told our brother Jack that. Amen. Well, we're just going to have a little bit of church here tonight, if that's all right. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got a lot of quotes, a lot of scriptures, and a lot of things. And maybe if the Lord be willing, I'll get in just a little bit of my testimony. As I said, I grew up in this message. And as I was up in Ohio just a few months ago, my youngest sister got married. And talking to one of my cousins, and actually my second cousin, and he was telling me that my great-grandparents believe this message. And I guess I kind of knew that, but I wasn't aware of how much they believed this message. And I knew my grandparents, they just passed away just before my wife and I got married. So my great-grandparents, my grandparents, my parents, and now me, that would make me a fourth-generation message believer. And do you know what? I got to thinking about that. What does that truly mean to me? And I got to tell you, yeah, I've had some great examples go before me. I've had many people go before me. Brother Tom Dillard, Brother Jack, and I both know him real well. Had many examples, many great men go before me. But friends, I had to get it for myself. God doesn't have grandchildren. God doesn't have great-great-great-grandchildren. I had to have an experience with Almighty God for myself. I can't meet God one day and say, God, look what lineage I come from. God say, that don't mean nothing to me. What are you doing for me? Did you believe my word? Is my word abiding in you? And are you abiding in me? He never asked you about your lineage, and not too many of us can even be really proud of that to begin with. I know I'm not. A lot of them's in jail and everything else. It's the truth. Amen. Let's just turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 this evening. My, I certainly have freedom this evening, and I'm certainly thankful for that. You know, sometimes you stand up before the people, and it gets real quiet on you, and the people don't pull. But, you know, I just heard a brother say the other day, he says, you know, if you pull, then I'll go less than 4 hours. Well, we don't have to worry about that tonight, because I drove nearly that. But I said that one time, my wife just laughed her head off. She says, have you ever gone over an hour? Last Sunday morning, Brother Danny, Brother Bill were away, and I preached an hour and a half. And that was my longest one ever. But let's just turn to Romans chapter 8. I just feel the presence of the Lord here this evening. Amen. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 8 to 17. Our theme this evening is abide in me. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye shall not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, I love that very much. Why? He's talking about glorification, but not glorification to the flesh. Right. What was Jesus' glorification? Amen? It was his cross. Right. He said, the Father told him, he says, I have glorified you and will both glorify you again. Oh, wow. You know, to the world, that looked like a great defeat. Oh, how even the disciples, the different ones, Cleopas on the way to Emmaus, and they began to walk along. They thought, we thought this would be the one that delivered Israel from our bondage. Right. That we thought that this, we've seen the mighty works, the mighty things. But just before Jesus went to the cross, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Right. Otherwise, my subjects would fight. You see, he came to bring deliverance, but it wasn't the deliverance that they thought that they were looking for. He came to bring spiritual deliverance. The very God of the universe, God in flesh, came down to glorify himself. And whoever thought that that would be on a cross? My. It looked like he was gone. It looked like that he would never come back. And if you believe the different isms and the things out there, you would say, yeah, we thought he was it. We thought, but you know what? He died. But you know, friends, God's not dead. He didn't stay dead. He went and took your sin. He took my sin to hell, dropped him off there, and now he's risen to the right hand of the Father, having all power, all authority over every sickness, every demon, every disease, every backslidden condition. Glory to God. That was his glorification. When he dropped his precious blood on this earth, redeeming it back to himself. Amen? Amen. The kinsman redeemer, dropping his blood there.
Yes, sir.
Redeemed this world back to himself. And when he redeemed the world back to himself, he redeemed you.
Amen.
He redeemed you. Amen. Oh my, how beautiful is that? My redeemer hanging there on the cross. Oh, it's blood running down that cross. And when that blood dripped and hit the ground, oh my, it was purchased. It was brought back to him. Many people say, well, why do we see the evil in the things that we see today? I thought it was redeemed. It is, but your prophet said, he said, does God own it? Absolutely. He's just allowing another agency to control it. But friends, like I was talking with Brother Jack just a few moments ago, that's not going to be too much longer. That's not going to be too much longer. That sixth seal is just about to break open and cleanse it all back off again, just the way he made it in the beginning. And you know, Brother Branham said that he's making it just the way that you like it.
Right.
Oh my, think about that. You in God's mind, he's going to make it just the way that you like it. You like Florida? There's going to be a nice Florida over there for you. But there ain't going to be no bugs. There ain't going to be no problems in this one. Glory to God. He's making it just so his little bride, everything that you like, it's going to be there for you. Why? Because he loves you so much. Oh my, can you believe that this evening? Glory to God. Oh my. The risen Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I just love him so much. When I think about what he did for me. Oh, man was trying to explain to me. He said, well, you got Jesus pinned up wrong. He got him this and that. And I said, you know what, sir, even if you're right, I don't care. After what he did for me, I don't care. When I think about my precious Savior dying, purchasing me to himself. I you know what? The Bible says there's no beauty that we should desire him. But you know what? I see a beauty in my Savior. I see fulfilled word in my Savior. And oh, you know, we sing the song, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Oh, is that your prayer tonight? Glory to God. Amen. And I think any born-again Christian is kind of an oddball to the world. Well, praise the Lord. Because you've been changed. Wow. Because you've been changed. You're from another world. Your spirit is from across the chasm. And this thing here is so messed up. If you're not different, then something's wrong. You're still too earthbound. You ought to be heavenly minded. And I love this statement that he makes right here. And heaven lives by the word. Heaven lives by the word. I love that very much. Because in St. John chapter 1, we understand that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in that body, we know that he had 12 disciples. And one day he says, who do men say that I am? Who are they saying that I am? He just told him right there, I am. Am, if you listen to it, who do they say that I am? It's the very same I am that met Moses in the burning bush. Everything that Moses lacked, the burning bush had. Is that right tonight? He said, who do they say that I am? Oh, the different ones said, they say you're Elias or one of the prophets raised up from the dead. And then Jesus asked, well, who do you say that I am? Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I love Jesus' statement to him at that point. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. Uh-oh. It looks like we've got two of them now.
All right.
Hello. He said, my Father, which is in heaven. But yet Jesus was standing there. So we got a Father in heaven and we got the man on earth. Where there's a Bible question, there's a Bible answer. You see, heaven lives by the Word. So the Word of God was made flesh, standing there, revealing it to Peter as they stood right there. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to God that he gave me that one day. I was just in my car thinking about, how could that be? God dropped it in. He said, heaven lives by the Word. The Word made flesh was standing there. Hallelujah. Revealed to Peter what? The Word for his day. And there was something in Peter that could receive the Word for his day. They want to make Jesus a fake. They want to make this message a fake. Why is it then? If Jesus was a fake, just for a moment now, then why would Peter have gone to his death for the word for his day? Why? He's had so much respect for his Savior. He said that I can't even die like him. You hang me upside down. I'm not even worthy to die like him. What commitment. What devotion. You see, you're supposed to abide in him and his word. Abide in you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Zechariah 14:9, the Bible says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. One Lord. One God. One name. So many times, talking with different ones, and they want to try to force a Trinity doctrine on you. And so much that I was listening to Moody Radio. You know, D.L. Moody. Brother Branham mentions it many times. He says, Moody had his day. This is not Moody's day. But they want to bask in another age's light. Is that right? And I was listening to this minister. And as he began to preach, he was saying that if you can't accept the Trinity doctrine, you're not even a Christian. You see where it's coming to. He said, if you can't accept the Trinity doctrine, you're not a Christian. And I thought, well, my goodness, how in the world could he make such a statement like that? When the Bible clearly shows you that there was one Lord, one faith, one God, One baptism. I was talking to a man about that one time. He says, then how come in Matthew 28:19 does the Bible say to go ye to all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost? He says, if that's the case, you're wrong. I said, oh, no. I'm not wrong. And I know where I stand, so I'm not afraid to tell somebody that. I said, it says in the name, singular. I'm a father. I've got one of my sons is here tonight. I'm a son. I'm a friend. Brother Jack is my friend. Right. Father, son, friend. You go out there and yell that, and most of these men in this building tonight could answer to those titles.
Right.
But he said, baptize them in the name, singular, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's the case, then Peter and all down through the book of Acts, nobody was baptized correctly. Because you'll never find one place in the Bible where they were baptized in those titles. But you know, friends, that's a strong spirit that's come against you today. That's a very strong power. But friends, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. And it's very important in this late hour for us to understand these truths that have been restored to us. For the mystery of the Godhead was one of the many things restored to us through the message of the hour. Like Jesus said many times, he said, try the scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Try the works. Try these things. Look at your Bible. Don't go out there to Google. Don't go out there to the scribes, the Pharisees, the different ones that don't believe in me anyhow. He said, but try the scriptures, and they are they that testify of me. You know, many times your prophet, Brother Branham, said, he said, try this message against the scriptures. Try it. See if it's there. Oh my, nothing could be added to. Nothing could be taken away. Amen. Who else could have taken a Revelation chapter 6 and 8 when he preached those seals and taking you back to Matthew 24. You see, it couldn't be added to. It was there all along. It just took a divine revealer of the scripture to bring these things and open the eyes of the believer and show him where Jesus is in scripture. Nothing was added to it. It was all there. It just took an angel to come down. He said himself, he says, I'm a man. He said, I would have had it all wrong. He said, but that angel came to me and he told me what to write. Pick up your pen and write. He said, oh, I was writing. I was listening to the first seal this morning before I come down here. Over here, rather. He said, I sat there with my pen in hand just trembling as I wrote down these scriptures in the presence of that angel. But try the message against the Bible. Just do that. So many people walk away from message churches today saying the message just isn't true. And they base their statements mostly on what they read on the internet. But what they really need to do is with their Bible in hand, take the message and check the Bible. Check the message according to the Bible. And if you'll do that, friends. Now, I wasn't the greatest student in school, but I do remember something out of geometry class. And that's called things that coincide. If you've got a circle or a square or a triangle, and if they're identical, same size as each other, you can lay one on top of the other and see one. So you lay the message on the Word of God. It will coincide. Dr. Google ain't going to tell you the truth. Why? Because he's not born again. Too many people, they go out there and they Google all these things and say, well, you know, we just don't know when he was born. His birthday could have been such. You know what? The only reason you believe your birthday is because somebody told you that. You don't literally believe. You literally don't know when you were there. You took somebody else's word for it. Somebody told me that I was born September 17th, 1975. Don't do the math. I'm 41. But you're taking somebody else's word for it. You don't physically know that now, do you? You got a piece of paper that says your birth certificate. But friends, that just shows when you came into this world. But back in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, you had a real birth back then. And the Bible says that there wouldn't be nothing go back to him but what first came from him. The problem of it is, too many people just want to go out in the world anyhow. They want to live after the flesh and not after the spirit. They want to go out there and watch the worldly movies. Boys want to put on their shorts. Our sisters want to trim their hair. They just want to do it. So what you do, you go on there and say, well, we don't know if the bridge fell or not. My salvation does not hinge on a bridge. My salvation hinges on the Word of God and that only. My salvation does not hinge on a birth record somewhere. What that man told me came straight from the scripture. And like I said, these people just want to go out into the world anyhow. Well, if that's their desire, then just go out to the world. But don't drag this message through the mud any longer. Now, I'm not a message apologist. God sticks up for himself. There's too many people out there saying, you know, we're apologists. We're here to stick up for Jesus. Well, I don't have to stick up for Jesus. He stuck up for me when I was lost in sin and deep and down and out. He stuck up for me. Now, how I'm going to stick up for him is by displaying his light to the world, by surrendering myself to him, him abiding in me. And I and him, him producing his fruit through my life, him producing his fruit through your life. You say, oh, I'm just a young person. Oh boy, there's a good one. I'm just a young person. What can I do for the kingdom? Oh my, I just love that one. Live a good Christian life. Boys, have your pants up where they belong. There's a good one. That's what you can do for the kingdom. Don't live after the deeds of the flesh. Look like a real man of God and show the world that there is a risen Savior. Sisters, look like a real lady should look. That's what you can do for the kingdom of God. That's what I'm here to talk about tonight. Abiding in him. Remaining in him. Being sustained in him. You say, well, I may not be swinging a sword like David did or these things. But you know what? You are. You're fighting a harder battle than what they fought. You say, me? A young person in 2017? A young message believer? Yes. This is the most horrible, most wicked, deceitful age that there's ever been. There's so many people think they're saved today. And you know what? They are not. Oh, you say, Brother Joel, that's a strong statement. But they have to come according to Dr. Jesus' prescription. That's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You've got to come according to the Word. Shaking hands with somebody, putting your name on a book does not get you entrance to heaven. Being a fourth generation message believer does not get you entrance into heaven. Got to have his life in you. You know, there's people that come forth and you can see their testimony. And they talk about when their parents were there, their aunts and uncles were there when that bridge fell. You know, they say, well, we can't find record of it anywhere. Well, there's a flood in 1937 and ruined all that anyhow. But, you know, I like what Brother Biscoe said about that. He said, when you come to me with the same vindication that that man had, when you come to me with the same scriptural vindication, then I'll listen to you. Otherwise, just shut up.
That's right, brother.
If you can't come to me with scriptural vindication, I don't want to hear it.
That's right.
You say, Brother Joel, are you saying that you just stick to the Word and only the Word? That's the point I want to get across tonight. It's the Word and the Word only. It's not the word plus. It's not the word and. It's the word only. You know, the Bible ends with the amen. Is that right? What does that amen mean? If you look it up, that's the absolute. That's what that means. That amen means this is now the absolute. Try serpent seed. Try Godhead. The seals, the token, and so many more. Friends, this is a restoration message. Luther had a part. Wesley had a part. Pentecost had a part of it. And they had truth for their day. But it was a step in the right direction. But you understand that Jesus in the book of Revelation, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He never said that the steps in between were him and his fullness. He was his fullness in the first church age. He said he would be in his fullness in the last church age. You say, whoa, that's me. That's us. Absolutely. That's what I'm preaching to this afternoon. That is you. It's him abiding in you. The Alpha, the Omega. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. And these things, these truths that have been brought back to you, restored the word of God to you again. It was lost down through all the dark ages. Is that right? For 1,000 years of darkness, the people groped in darkness. The only way that they knew for sure that they could be saved would be to give their life, be stretched on the racks, or to be fed to a lion. Your precious brothers and sisters. But you know what the Bible says? You say, oh, that must have been a hard age. I'm sure it was. But you know what Brother Branham said about that? He said, their death happened instantly. Just say an hour of pain and suffering. And it was all over, and they were escorted out by angels. But you live year after year after year until the coming of the Lord, until the day of the rapture. Is that right? You will trudge. You will work. You will press on. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You're going to press in. You've got to remain steady. You're going to go all the way. Amen. You know the word believe, and I'm totally off my notes tonight. The word believe is not just saying that I'm convinced that that's true. Okay, I can see with my intellect. Friends, intellectual faith, you know, that's a start. Intellectual faith is all right if that's the start, but it's not the end result. It's not you figuring it out. Is that right? It's not you figuring it out. It's Him revealing it to you. The word believe doesn't necessarily mean that I see the scripture. I can see serpent seed. I can see where Cain was a hybrid human being. He was not all human. He was part animal. He was that wicked one. That's what the Bible says. If that be the case, then why did Jesus Christ have to be born of a virgin? Anybody that wants to debate that with you, ask him why Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin. There was no sin in him. Amen. There was no sin in him whatsoever. Amen. But the word believe means I will remain committed to that. It's a commitment. You say, I believe. Yeah, that's not just saying with my mind I can accept that. But what you're saying is, I will be committed to this word that I have heard today. The different church ages along the way, they were just the phases. God, through Martin Luther, I'll keep it up here. God, through Martin Luther, that was just a sprig that came out of the ground. Is that right? It was just a little blade. And I was back in the office just a little bit ago, and I was just kind of thinking on that, meditating on that, and I opened my eyes. Lo and behold, Brother Jack has a little shock of wheat sitting there in his little cabinet there. And I thought, well, thank you, Jesus, for vindicating that to me. I come from wheat country. I know what it looks like. But I sat there, and I looked at that, and I thought, well, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. But you see, friends, the shock was not the fullness of God. Yes. The tassel was not the fullness of God. The shock, the outside that housed the grain inside, was not the fullness of God. You know, friends, Jesus Christ went into the ground and he came up through Martin Luther, but that wasn't the fullness. Friends, he came through Pentecost, which is a shock, but that's not his fullness. The shock does not have the power to produce anything, but the seed that's inside is exactly like the original that went into the ground. Hallelujah. It's just like the original. A carbon copy of him all over again. Him in his body again, producing the exact same thing. That's why I say it can't be the word and. It can't be the message and my television. It can't be the message and pornography. It cannot be the message and drugs. It cannot be the message and trimmed hair. It's got to be the word and the word only. Glory to God. It cannot be the word and my idea and what I think about it. God don't care what we think about it. Did you know that? Talking to your pastor in the study just a few moments ago. And Abraham. I love Abraham. You know what Abraham shows us? A genuine, vindicated prophet of God that was not perfect. He was not, but that did not detract from his ability to be God's prophet. He lied. He looked at Abimelech and said, this is my sister. And you know what? It was a half-truth, just like the serpent told Eve in the beginning. It was a half-truth. Yeah, they did have the same daddy. That's true. They did. He did it to save his own skin. But if he'd have been honest, maybe Abimelech would have been saved. Did you ever think about that? I don't know. You see, the problem if it is, they don't elect God's prophets to be human beings too. Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. He came perfect. There was no sin in him. He came born of a virgin. The Bible says, I believe it was David said that he said, I was born in sin and shaping iniquity. Brother Branham often says, we're born in sin, shaping iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. But Jesus Christ did not. He did not come into the world speaking lies, friends. But his precious blood came back. His precious blood came back to make you in the very image of that. Amen. Does that make sense tonight? The first time he came, he had to be a virgin born son of God. This time he comes in a blood washed vessel, showing that the power in the blood has the power to wash you, to purge you, to take you all the way back to the very beginning.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So like I said, this is a restoration message. It restored Jesus. The Word of God promises in the book of Joel, he said, I've parachuted so far out of my notes, but that's okay. God's doing something tonight. I believe that. In the book of Joel, he said, I will restore, saith the Lord, all the truths, all these things that were lost down through the different ages. I will restore them back to you again. And we fully understand in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible tells us that the Word is that precious seed. You know, one time I was on my way to church and I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, we read the Bible. I have this Bible in my hand. I'm driving the car. I have one hand on another hand on my Bible. I said, you know, with my intellect, I can read this Bible and I can know what it says. We're past what I call Church Alley. There's a whole bunch of churches along Fruitville Road close to my home there. And you know, I'm telling honey, I said, they're reading probably the same Bible this morning. Because it doesn't mean to them what it means to me. They can, with their intellect, read these pages. But it doesn't mean to them what it means to me. And just then, I passed a sign. God was doing something. Just then, I passed a sign. And it had a big green arrow pointing to the right. And it said, Party for George. And I said, you know, Lord, God was doing, like I said, God was doing something that morning. And I said, you know, sweetheart, I can read that sign that says Party for George, but I'm not going to turn that way. With my intellect, I can see it, and I can know that George is probably down that way. But you know why I'm not going to turn? Because I don't know George, and they don't know Jesus Christ. I'm not going to turn and go down there because I have no idea who that person is. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. We're in Florida. I wasn't going to turn down there. I didn't have the foggiest idea who that guy is.
All right.
And you know, they're not worshiping my Jesus because they don't have a foggiest idea who he is. But if they could see him in you, young people, you can reach people that I can't reach. Young people, you can reach people. That's your pastor. Brother Jack's a great man. I've known him for a long time. But you could reach somebody. You say, I'm 10 years old. You can reach somebody that your pastor can't reach. Somebody that your pastor's wife can't reach. Somebody that your mother can't reach. You can reach them for the gospel. Because like I read in that opening scripture, that there's something different about you. Why? Because the Word is alive in you. Oh, it's not that I can't do this and I can't do that. You know what, friends? I don't want to do it. I don't want to go out there.
Amen.
I don't want to listen to rap music anymore. You say, Brother Joel, did you listen to it? I did. I'm ashamed to say that. I used to listen to that. I wasn't always a preacher.
Come on, brother.
I wasn't always the person that I am today. The forgiven person that I am today. I used to listen to rap, MC Hammer and all these things. Man, they used to just tear up my car system. But you know what? Today, I have a hard time hearing now. Am I forgiven? Oh, absolutely. I'm forgiven. But sometimes my wife says something a little quiet. I don't have a clue what she said. I'm paying the price in this mortal body that I live in. I'm going to a body that doesn't have weak ears. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You see, God revealed himself to me when I was 20 years old. You say, Brother Joel, did you get baptized at 20? I got baptized at 9. And I knew that I needed a Savior at 9 years old. Family devotions, that family of parents, I can't stress to you enough. Although I didn't always serve God until he made himself real to me one day. I can't stress to you enough how important that family altar is. Just that steadfast reading the Word of God and praying with them kids. You might say, well, I'm not an orator. I can't say the things that a minister would say. That has nothing to do with it. Read just a quick scripture with those kids. Open the little blue supernatural books. If you don't have them, read it. Excuse me, you can get those. And read those to your kids so they know where they stand, so they know what they believe. It's very important in this hour to know what you believe, because the way you dress, the way you act, the way you conduct yourself, you're going to get some questions. Be prepared to answer those questions. Just saying that this is what I believe isn't enough. You've got to show them. The first thing you've got to establish is the Word of God in their life. Do you believe this? And if the answer is yes, say, wow, I've got somebody on the hook, right? Just like fishing. I love fishing. And you dangle that bait out there. You dangle it. Divine healing was just bait to bring the people in. Is that right? You dangle the bait out there. And if they begin to nibble, what do you do then? Pow! You set that hook and bring them in. The glory of it is, when the last one comes in, you get to go home. You get to leave here. When that last elected sheep comes in, the rapture goes. The bride, we all go to be with our Savior. He said the meeting place is already set. It's in the sky. He said you've been given the wedding band of predestinated, unmerited grace. When that last one comes in, he says, let's just go home. Come be with me, honey. Come be with me, sweetheart. That's what he's saying to you right now. Come home. Amen. In my opening scripture, we read, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. You know, James says in the Bible, that ask, nothing wavering, for if a man wavers, he'll receive nothing from God. Is that right? But you ask, not wavering. You say, well, if I ask, is it going to happen instantaneously? Maybe, and maybe not. You know what? That's a test of your faith. Abraham waited 25 years for his promise. What if you have to wait 20? I hope not, because I want to get out of here. Right. 25 years, I don't even want to tell you how old I'll be. But that's beside the point. What if you have to wait? What if God says, wait? You know, just a quick testimony. Is that okay?
Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had a tooth just killing me, just aching so bad. And you know, I woke up and I shook my head and I said, well, why in the world is that thing even hurting? It's fake. It's one I had a crown put on a long time ago. It's dead. They drilled that thing out and filled it up. It's solid. I've seen the x-ray. It's solid from the bone to the top. But yet this thing in the middle of the night began to hurt me so bad. Sister told me, she says, I had one do that too, and it cost me $3,000 to get it cut out. I'm like, $3,000? Oh my goodness. But you know, I just laid there, because you know the devil tries to affect your sleep. Is that right? He wants you to be so wore out that you just can barely get through each and every day of your life. The Bible says that I will give you peace. I will give you rest. Is that right? Here I am at night, and I was preparing for two services. I preached back home. Our ministers were all gone. And here I am just, you know, just you get nervous. You just kind of toss and turn. And here I am, and I got this tooth, and it's just killing me. And I was like, dear Jesus, how in the world is this thing that's completely dead hurting so bad? But I couldn't even touch it. I thought, my goodness, what's going on here? And is this going to cost me $3,000? And then, oh my goodness. And then, you know, I got a vision in my own face, swelled up huge because I got this abscess tooth, and there's nobody back home to preach, and what are we going to do? And my mind just going a million, crossing bridges that don't even exist. Isn't that what he does to you? Uses your imagination. And here I am laying in bed. And all this happened in probably 30 seconds.
Right.
And I'm just laying there in bed thinking, how am I going to preach? My face is going to be swollen, and it's going to cost so much money to get it done. And, what am I ever going to do? And something just dropped inside my head and said, what are you doing? You know, it's 3 in the morning. You need to get your rest. What must you do to get your rest, Joel? I said, you know what? By your stripes, I'm healed. I don't have to accept this. I don't have to accept this at all. I got up. I gargled a little bit of mouthwash or something, and I don't know if that helped or not. But you know what? The next thing I know, it's 6 o'clock, time to get up. I went back to sleep and slept just fine. And you know that tooth? I can stomp on it. I can crunch a peanut right now if I wanted to. It doesn't hurt a bit. That's what you're going to say, Brother Joel, you just told me a testimony about a tooth. Well, you got to start somewhere. You know, Brother Branham said, if all you can do is wiggle your finger, wiggle your finger. Just show the devil whose side you're on. Wiggle your finger. And before you know it, your faith will escalate and get higher and higher. Before you know it, you'll be swinging your whole arm. Before you know it, your whole body is going to testify. But it had to start somewhere. Is your faith weak tonight? Wiggle that finger. Wiggle that finger. Whatever it may be. Whatever your trial may be. Just say, God, this is all that I have faith for right now. But I'm trusting in your word that it is true. The very God that did that for him is the very God that's going to do it for me. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, in my word abide in you. How do you know if you're thinking the word? Lay it on top of the word and find out. You have a thought that says you're not a Christian. Your kids are never going to be saved. You'll never receive healing. Okay, take it to the word. Where does it say that? Friends, if you do that, you'll find out that it's just a lying devil. Amen. It's just a lying devil. He said, I am the God that healeth all thy diseases. I am the God that forgiveth all thy iniquities. A little farther down there in Psalms 103, he says, forget not all my benefits. Lay that on the word. Lay every thought on the word. Is that right? You know, when the angel met Brother Branham in the cave, he said, your words are louder in heaven than your thoughts are louder in heaven than your words are here on earth. That's what he said. Your thoughts are louder in heaven. That's why David said, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Amen. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. If you abide in me, my word abide in you, then ask what you will. Because you and the word are the same. He has the preeminence. He's got rulership. You're a prisoner to him. The world is dead. You have nothing more, you see. The rest of the people living the way they do. But yet, you don't want to do it. You're a prisoner. You're yoked with him. He said, my yoke is easy. Yoke with Christ. Yoke with his word. I do only that which pleases the Father. And if you can't believe that I am he, then believe the word. And he says, so perfect. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said that I have not given you the spirit of fear. You know, that's a big one that the devil uses today. He uses complexes. He uses fear. I haven't done it yet to these guys that are in my church. I might preach a sermon sometime called, what if? What if? Oh, I need this healing in my tooth. I need my family saved. But what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't happen? And then the devil brings that thought to your mind, and then the fear comes in, and then he says, well, what if they don't have it? I don't know what I'm going to... God doesn't deal with you that way. He says, look to my promise. When they left the land of Egypt, of bondage and slavery, when they left that, God didn't even let them leave a hoof behind. They took their animals with them. You know, I thought about this a lot. When Brother Branham got on the other side, his dog was there. His horse was there. His wife was there. His chair was there. That Morris chair was there. The one that he lost here was up there. And what did Sister Hope tell him? She says, oh, honey, they can't come get this one. She said, it's paid for. Everything that you have when you get there is paid for. It's already paid for. Amen. Friends, if his dog made it, then you as a believer, just have faith for your children. Have faith for your parents. Have faith for those friends, those people that treat you so good and you love them so much. Have faith for them. Don't let go of them. Just keep holding on. Keep placing them before the Father. Amen. Don't let fear come to your mind and say, what if I go in the rapture and they get left here? God didn't give you that thought. I'm here to tell you that right now. God didn't tell you what if. God said my word, and that's all he said. Amen. Whatever you have need of, my word is true. Amen. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. Now, when the word is in you, you're a prisoner to him, Christ's prisoner, with the bond of love to him. Now, do you love him tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, then you're a prisoner. You love him, you're a prisoner to him. You're bound to him, you say. Well, so many times I mess up, and I'm closing here, brothers and sisters. So many times I mess up. But yeah, I still love him. I mess up. Well, you know why? You say, maybe I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been baptized in Christian baptism. I was baptized when I was 9 years old, but I was 20 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I came to him for good, when I came to him to stay. But since that time, you say, Brother Joel, have you messed up? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, if it was within your power in this mortal flesh to attain sinless perfection, he would not have had to die on the cross. He wouldn't have had to do it. A believer puts a sin under the blood daily. Brother Branham said, we take inventory. I came from a big company up in Ohio with the Honda Motor Company. I used to work there, and I used to build the engines and all these different things. But inventory was a huge thing when you're in a facility that makes 1.3 million engines a year. And that's exactly what we did. But God, millions of engines means nothing. When one single soul is worth 2,000 worlds to our God. You say, well, then if I mean that much to God, how come I keep messing up? See, it's not based on you. It's not based on what you've done. So many people say, well, I've let God down. I've done this, I've done that, I've let God down. Well, you know what? You've never been holding him up to begin with. You didn't let God down. You think for a second that he doesn't see you through those blood-stained goggles of his? He sees you. Remember that time up in Toledo, Ohio? Brother Branham saw the woman sitting there, the rock and roll music, the men flirting with her. And he says, God, how can you stand it? God took him behind the door and showed him a vision of his sin going up and hitting that blood bumper. His sin went up and hit that blood bumper. He had an advocate before the Father. Jesus Christ himself stood there. He says, forgive him, Father. Forgive him. He didn't mean to do it. He didn't mean to do it. Oh, my. And see, you have the same advocate. You have the same one as your advocate saying, forgive him. Forgive him. They didn't mean to do it. They didn't mean to do it. You see, that's why you can stand before him pure. That's why you can stand before him a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You say, then I don't want to make these mistakes. Well, probably not. None of us do. But like I said earlier, you were born in a hybrid body. That body has animal in it. That body's going to be attracted back to the world. That's why Brother Branham said so many times, he said, I'm my own worst enemy. He wasn't talking about the Spirit of God that's within him. He was talking about the flesh. The flesh was his own worst enemy. Always trying to take him back away from everything. Trying to take him back away from the word. Pulling him toward the things of the world. You say, did Brother Branham have temptations? Absolutely, he had temptations. He hung a little cross in his car. If he saw somebody that was immorally dressed, he didn't meditate on that. He looked to the cross every time. Amen. That was God's prophet that did that thing. Amen. Amen. My, well, I got so many notes here, I don't know when to close. You know, too many people are looking at themselves. You're looking at yourself. You know Balaam and Balak the king. He looked over Israel. He looked over God's people. He didn't like them too much. The devil don't like you. He's right. He don't like you. He called up his own prophet and he says, I don't want you to curse these people and get them out of here. Balaam told Balak, he said, the only thing I can do is what the Lord tells me. I will do that. And Balak says, that's fine with me. Curse these people. So he built the altars, did the different things. When the prophecy came forth, oh my, I like this. One was looking at the people from man's point of view. God was going to give him his point of view of these people. And when that prophet began to prophesy, he says, how goodly are thy tents, O Israel. Oh, my. I love that so much. One was looking at him and saying, they're a bunch of rebels. Look what they're doing to the land. They're destroying it. They were just passing through. They weren't even meant for that land to begin with. But when God, through his prophet, spoke down, God began to express his thoughts to that prophet. Is that right?
Yes.
And he says, how goodly are thy tents. Well, friends, that's how God looks at you. That's how God looks at you if you're washed in his blood.
Amen.
You say, Brother Joel, I want in that body. I want what you're talking about tonight. I've been raised in this message. Maybe I don't know. I don't know your history. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know where you've been. But I know where you can go. And that's with me. Amen. You say, Brother Joel, how do I get into this body? The Bible says, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Acts 2:38 tells us to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what Dr. Jesus said to you. You want him? You want to be in this body? I'm here to tell you tonight, we'll baptize you right now. I didn't bring extra clothes, but that doesn't matter.
Glory.
That don't matter. I baptize people in church clothes.
All right.
I don't care. If you want in, I remember Brother Bill Dow. You hear about him on the tapes all the time. He's actually from my hometown. Died many years before I was born. Brother Branham talks about that light flashing across that seed that was already down deep inside him. That light flashed across that seed. He says, Brother Branham, I want to be buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham says, well, next time you come, bring your clothes. He says, I want to be baptized right now. I don't want to go another minute without him. I don't want to go another second without him. Friends, and you don't have to tonight. You don't have to. He's right here. You know, we got the ocean out here. And if you were to put all of that water in a little pipe, there'd be a great, tremendous pressure on that pipe. Is that right? But the pressure on that pipe does not compare to how much God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You say, do young people get filled with the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Do middle-aged people? Yes. Do old people get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Friends, when we leave here, we're leaving as a collective bride. We're not leaving our little ones. We're not leaving our middle-aged ones. We're not leaving our old ones. We're all going together. See, the beauty of this whole story is, yes, you are in a battle. Yes, you have struggles. Yes, you have trials. But you know what? As a believer, you win. Read the back of the book. You win. You go into Revelations 19, talking about you. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Matthew 24:13, he says, but he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. In closing tonight, let's turn in our Bibles just quickly to 1 Corinthians 15. I have no idea how long I've been up here tonight, Brother Jack.
Quite all right, brother. Quite all right.
1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The second time he mentions that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this now. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We've seen here this evening that there's an abiding. There's a believing. There is remaining. There is just an everyday walk, just being steadfast. And I had it marked down, but we didn't for time's sake. Joshua, I'll read it to you just real quick. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Meditate on this law day and night, for it is your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Christ is in you, it makes you proof of his resurrection. Oh, the world can say he's dead, but you could say, no, he's not dead. Jesus Christ is alive. I am proof. I'm proof that Jesus Christ is alive. Can you say that about yourself tonight? Say it with me right now. I am proof of the resurrection. I am proof of the resurrection. That's right. Amen. And you say that, and he's the high priest of your profession. Oh, problems come your way, trials come your way, but you know, friends, they're not to tear you down. They're not to tear you up. They're not to kick you out. You know, it's just for your perfection. It's for your glorification. It's for your character, for character is not a gift. Did you know that? Character is a victory. God wants you to have character, and he says that when you get there, you're going to be a king and a priest and rule and reign with him, so he wants you to have character. And you know, through your trials, they're not meant to destroy you. You know, the devil's the only one that loses when he comes against a believer. At the Red Sea, who lost that day? Who really lost that day? All the people had fear. They had some trepidation. I believe they did. If they believed Moses and they followed him, they went down into the Red Sea. The devil's the only one that lost that day. He was swallowed up. And you know what God told Moses? He says, this enemy that you see, this day you'll see him no more forever. And you know, friends, he's calling you up to live a higher plane. We'll sing that song in just a few minutes. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. He's calling you to live just a little bit higher. Amen. Do you love the Lord Jesus this evening? It's certainly been my pleasure to be with you and send you greetings from your sister church, your brothers and sisters, just on the other side of the state from here. And you know, I've had the opportunity to travel to many different countries. I know, Brother Jack, you've had this opportunity to do the same. And you know, when you get over to foreign lands, you know, 15, 20,000 miles away, and you meet believers, you meet brothers and sisters. They may not even speak your language, but when you grab a hold of their hands and you see the look of love, you see Jesus Christ in their eyes, and you say, oh my goodness, I feel like I've known you forever. But yet you don't speak my language. You don't dress the way I look. I spent 3 weeks in Pakistan one time, and you know, I met so many people. Been to Russia and just seven different countries, three different continents. I've been around the world, but when you meet believers, they look like you. They believe like you. They have the same love and the same glow. You know, you're not supposed to glitter. The gospel glows. You got the glow of the Lord Jesus Christ about you tonight. And we're so thankful to be identified with you. And we certainly pray for you. And we just look forward to, if we don't see you again on this side, we'll be on the shouting on the hills of glory. Brother Jack and I, that song goes back a long way. We're going to be shouting on the hills of glory. Amen. I danced to that one. I'm not going to do it tonight, but we used to just really have a wonderful time in the Lord. You know, those were just stepping stones in our past to bring us up to where we are today. Amen. Well, glory to God. We certainly love you with the love of the Lord. If you want to stand to your feet, if the musicians had come this evening and just softly play the song, I Feel the Pull. I Feel the Pull. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we've done all that we know. I feel like Brother Branham, you know, the time that he said the little boy that when he prayed, he just said the ABCs. And he said, Lord, you know my heart. Just put it all together. Well, that's sometimes how a minister feels about his sermon. Oh, we try to put notes and things together. And then, Lord, the desires of your people pull us other directions, and that's good. I'm thankful for, Lord, for that anointing that does that for us, dear God. But Lord, I just prayed tonight, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would just anoint the word that went forth, and Lord, just water it with your Holy Spirit tonight, dear God. Lord, my prayer is for that little one that has not come to the full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. That one that still sits on the fence that says, I haven't made my decision yet. Well, I want to encourage you tonight to come all the way into the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many bountiful blessings. There's so much peace. There's so much joy. There's so much victory awaiting you once you come all the way in. Lord Jesus, I just pray, dear God, for your people tonight. Brother Jack said they've come from many different, some of them have driven quite some distance tonight. Lord, my prayer is that you would just bless them for their efforts. Bless them for coming tonight, dear God. And Lord, if for no other reason, just show them the devil whose side that we stand on. Lord, the world has so many things to offer, bars and nightclubs, but yet we have people that are willing to come to church on a Saturday night. I passed a big ball field just up the street. I passed a race track where cars were lined up for seemingly a mile. People wanting to get in to see some cars run around and around a circle and end up at the same place where they started. Lord, it doesn't make sense. But Lord, there's some people that have gathered here tonight to want to hear from you. And my prayer is, dear God, that you would just bless each one tonight, dear God. Lord, go out to them. Lord, open those doors to the door like our prophet preached, and just go in each and every one, Lord, and just get your little bride ready to leave here. Reveal to us where we're wrong, Heavenly Father. Lord, correct us where we need correction. Encourage us where we need encouragement, dear God. Heal us where we need healing. Lord, and we just know without a shadow of a doubt that it's time for us to put off that corruptible and take on incorruption. We love you so much, dear God. Lord, and we just want to tell you tonight that we're believers in your word. And no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, we will stand upon that word, dear God. We love you, Father. Just bless us, your people, now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I feel. Go ahead and lead us, Brother Jack.
And I know his spirit's moving me to give my all. He speak.
Just raise your hands to him tonight. Just worship him. Show him how much you love him.
And I agree.
Hallelujah.
Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. God's Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me and I agree. Come and take control. I feel the pull.
Come on, sing it again.
I feel the pull. Oh, I hear the call. God's Spirit's moving me give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Oh Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. Oh Lord, please come and take control, for I feel the pull.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Abide in me. How blessed and how privileged we were to hear the word of the Lord tonight from our precious brother Joel. That was straight from heaven. Amen. To our hearts tonight. And just a couple things that I'm just kind of taking with me. I love the way that he brought out, even when God's messengers make mistakes, God will deal with them privately. Right. And I was talking about how Moses was called to the mountain and showed privately that he would not go into the promised land because of him smiting that rock where he was supposed to speak to the rock. So anytime we see somebody trying to correct a prophet over the Internet, we know that that's the wrong spirit. Immediately, we know that's the wrong spirit because God deals with his prophets privately, not over the Internet. So, amen. That alone should help us just stay off of those websites. Amen. And just get into the word of God for ourselves and just measure everything up according to the word of this message that we believe. And I love that when we say that we're believers, it means I will remain committed, not just an intellectual, you know, just agreement or something like that. But no, I will remain committed. I believe this. I remain committed to it. Amen. How many is going to remain committed to Christ? No matter what you go through in your life, or no matter what tribulations or distresses come, I will remain committed. Amen. I like that. Let's sing a few choruses of this song. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Say, I believe, I believe. I believe, I believe. I believe the word of God. I believe. Come on, say that again. I believe. I believe. I believe. Yes, Lord. I believe. I believe. I believe the word of God. I believe. I believe. Come on, I receive, I receive. I receive, I receive. Oh, I receive, I receive. Yes, I receive the word of God. I receive, I receive. Come on, say that again. I receive. I receive, I receive. Oh, I receive, I receive. I receive the word of God. I receive, I receive. I receive the word of God. Say, I receive the word of God. I receive, I receive. I believe the word of God. Say, I believe the word of God. I believe, yes, I believe. Come on, one more time. I believe the word of God. Say, I believe the word of God. I believe, I believe. It's a gift from God. It's a gift
from God to you. Hallelujah. Nothing else can compare to. It's a blessing. It's a blessing with your name on it. It's a gift from God to you, yes. It's a gift from God to you. Nothing else can compare to. See, it's a blessing with your name on it. Yes, it's a blessing with your name on it. It's a blessing with your name on it. It's a blessing with your name on it. Say, it's a blessing with your name on it. So I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Yes, I believe, I believe, oh, I believe the word of God, I believe. Come on, I receive, I receive, I receive, oh, I receive, yes, I do, Jesus. Hey, I receive the word of God. I receive. Come on, I receive the word of God. Say, I receive the word of God. I receive. I believe the word of God. Yes, I believe the word of God. I believe. I believe the word of God. Yes, I believe the word of God. I believe. One more time, I receive the word of God. I receive the word of God. I receive. I receive. Come on, put those hands together and give them praise. Hallelujah. God, we believe the word. Not only do we believe it, but we receive it. God, we were invited. Your own words told us to abide in you. Let your word abide in us. God, when we've done that, then we can ask what we will. And Father, to realize that if we're going to wear the badge of believer tonight, Lord, then we must remain committed to this truth that has been given to us. Every devil from hell has been loosed against this truth. But God, we thank you that we have power and strength to be able to overcome the enemy and every wild attack that he brings. Thank you for your servants that bring various points of view, Lord, to our attention so that we, God, would be strengthened in the hour in which we live. Thank you for your servant, Lord, tonight, Brother Joel. We ask that you continue to use him for your glory and for your honor. May you bless, Lord, all the saints that have gathered here in this place, every church that's represented. We pray your blessings upon each one, and those that were not represented tonight, we ask that you look upon them as well. And God, as we prepare to leave this place but not your presence, we pray that you would go with us and that you would keep us. Give us traveling mercies back to our homes. God, there's been food that's been prepared for this occasion tonight. Bless the food as well. And God, may you get all the glory. May you get all the honor. And may you get all the praise. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. The sisters prepared a little something for everyone tonight. And we'll have that next door. So, amen. Just invite everybody to make sure you just get something there before you get on the road. We want to say thank you to each and every one, every church that's represented. The believers from Miami, amen. Brother Wesco's church, amen. Also Sarasota, amen. Just thank God for all the believers being here tonight, just gathered in this place.
God bless you and God keep you until the next time. Amen.